Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you think he's worthy to be receive praise? I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll let the dust settle with one more. How many of you think we're addicted to worship? That's your DNA, you know. That's your DNA. That's the easiest and the foremost thing that you're supposed to be able to produce. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter. In fact, music, it's just a novelty. You just absolutely don't even need it. If it's there, it's icing. I like the seminars. They're real good. And I love music. But the ones that I like the most is, now I'm being facetious, where the words, you've got to have a certain beat and a build-up. And that beat and that build-up produces something that gives you a warring spirit that has the capacity to drive devils off. Let me tell you something about your spirit. It didn't need any kind of supplement. Nothing needed to come alongside of it. When Jesus birthed you and born you again, you didn't have to have anything else to come and rev it up or psych it up or bring it to another level of awareness and of awakening. You can enjoy the benefits. When he said to the woman at the well, "Woman, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth." And he wasn't saying pneuma as in little or big pneuma. He was talking about little pneuma, little spirit, meaning the hour is coming and now is. It's here because the personification of it is standing in front of you, but it's just a few days away, because what's about to happen is the Father is about to birth a new race of people. Up until this point in time, it's not been possible to worship him spirit to spirit. That we used to sing when I was a kid, to worship him like David did. That's good. David came up to the brink of it, and that's as far as he could go, because he couldn't be born again, because the prototype hadn't come in the earth. And he got born again later when Jesus descended. Ephesians 4, he that ascended is he that first descended. He descended into all those Old Testament saints, and guess what he preached to them? You must be born again. They got born again. You say, well, because when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, no man is ascended. When he said no man, he meant no man. Well, Elijah got caught up into the heavens. No, he got caught up and was taken away from Elisha momentarily. What he saw was he's caught up, but he still appeared in Abraham's bosom, that holding place in the earth. And they were waiting for the prototype to get here, what you and I have got today. And those old saints, they got born again. And then they got the chance to worship in spirit and truth. David, the best he could do was worship him out of a real excited soul and a spirit that would come up to the brink of it, and it just couldn't produce. And Jesus is standing there talking to a woman. She doesn't understand it either. He said, the hour's coming. And really, you can touch it now is when the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth, meaning the truth was going to be produced by the new nature. And when you had that new nature, then you could worship him spirit to spirit. You've got a DNA that can reach out, and now it touches the Father, and the Father touches you, and it doesn't have to be supplemented with anything else. Hallelujah. It can just absolutely worship. And you talk about the supplement of anything else. I like it. I'm not down on it. I mean, I'll just sit for hours sometimes. But I've learned also that the redundancy that the angels worship him at in heaven, when you read chapter 4 and then 5 or 6 in Revelation, they just redundantly just stand there. You'd think boredom would set in so much that somebody would say, my God, let's call a quit to this. Can't we do something different? I mean, this is really high-tech boredom, because it says they cease not over and over and over to say, glory, 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 glory. You know what it is? It's because when you get caught up in Him, see, your spirit is so much more high-tech than your soul. Your soul will get bored real quick and it'll say, man, play me another song. Give me something else to chew on here, because I'm really getting, you know, I'm just getting parched here. I need something else. But the moment your spirit goes into that place of intimacy, it needs no other supplement. It needs nothing. It needs nothing at all. And they stand there. How long they've been standing there? I don't know. They might have been there way before our creation, way before you and I appeared. Maybe millions of years. But I know it says they cease not forever and ever to just cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who liveth. Hallelujah. They're just there. And it's like every time they say it, a new wave of His glory just hits them. And a new wave causes it. The redundance is this. They want more. And when they get more, they want more of what they just got. And when they get more of what they just got, they want more and more and more. Hallelujah. See, your spirit was created like that. When He said the hour's coming and now is, He's not talking about a good worship team. Or that we can praise ourselves in. We can go from flesh. You know, well, we were in the flesh. We didn't feel too much like it, but then we just kept praising until we went into the Spirit. That's not what He's talking about. He's not talking about your emotions. He's talking about a created place. He's not even talking about a positional truth like one day this is going to come to pass. He's talking about your spiritual DNA. The person you are on the inside has now been created, that if you'll open up to it and begin to worship Him out of intimacy, something will begin to transpire. The ascendancy of your spirit will step up. It'll parent the soul. It'll begin to take the ascendancy over your soul, and everything that you needed as a supplement all of a sudden begins to vanquish away, and you find that one-on-one kind of a supply that comes only through the Holy Spirit. And my God, when that begins to wash over you, I'm telling you, there's no kind of drug on earth. It's so addictive that you'll just absolutely fight like a madman to get it back. Even when everything kind of comes and covers it up, and hard times and people walking away out of your life, and depression and hard times financially, and this not liking, this one not liking you, this, and all the distractions of the soul. But if something has ever touched the spirit, like you've been created to be touched, you just can't do without it. You'll fight for it. You'll want it. You'll push past every kind of thing that Satan tries to cover it up with. This is what you've been created to do, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. That's who you are. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's not coming to you. It's what you already are. Get in touch with the man that's been created on the inside. Hallelujah. Well, how do I do that? Well, if you just hang around worship long enough, He'll come and baptize you. Hallelujah. Why don't we do it just a little bit more? Because cocaine, it's never seen its day that it's as addictive as the moment he washes over your spirit and makes you feel like, my God, you have provided everything I need. No excuses. Nobody can stop me. My husband can't stop me. My wife can't stop me. A bad business deal can't stop me. The way I was raised can't stop me. Glory be to God. Somebody once said we were all created equal. There's a truth in that, but it stops. Because not everybody came out of the gate the same. And not everybody had the same raisings. And not everybody had the same teachings. But the day, if it was yesterday, the day you get born again. Nobody gets more than anybody else. You get the full expressed image of who he has made you to be, which is a born again DNA given straight from the Father. Spirit, you receive a spirit from above. And Paul said, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. It is a new species. It's the word also spora, which we use for creating or procreating. He becomes, through that spora, a new creation, and all things are passed away who you once were. So there's no kind of excuses, because you can't even identify anymore. Well, and the flesh and the kids of today want to say, this is the why I am like I am. No, no, no. You can use that. If you want to use that, don't ever get born again. But the moment you get born again, you've got every single thing that you need to walk free. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, Galatians 3:13, the curse has come off of your life. Why? Because you don't have to trace your family tree. If I'm living under the Old Testament, sure, I got to go back 14 generations. But now I'm living under one. His name is Jesus. And my tree doesn't fork. It just goes one place. And all curses are off because he became the curse for me. My daddy could have been. I could have escaped. And my daddy been Osama bin Laden. With every curse on him because of all the masses he's killed. Do you think I have to come up here the moment my knee touches and I say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins? Do you think I got to stand then and start going through, back through my generations and getting cleansed of the things that daddy did and that one did? All bets are off. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Boy, the ones that teach those seminars, I hope they don't come in the back door, because I'm in trouble. Joe, better go back to the old days. Help me out a little bit. Hallelujah. John's got my back too. They can see him in that mellow shirt. John, if they come in after me, I'm telling you, tell them that you're Bronc Flint, okay? Hallelujah. We're free. We're free to worship. Well, what do I do when something comes at me that I know used to be attached to daddy? Look, yeah, spirits can, they're smart. They can come at you just like they did mama. Depression and all those kinds of things. They don't, you tell me they don't follow families. Oh, yeah. But here's where you're free. You don't have to step back and say, let's see, did I jot my I's and cross my T's. Have I forgotten something? Oh God, let's see. Did Uncle so-and-so, okay, Father, forgive Uncle. No, no, no. My God, I've been born again. All I got to do to that thing that's following me is stand up and say the same thing he said. It is written in Jesus' name. You're not putting this junk on me. I'm telling you, I'm free. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm this way because my daddy was. Have you been born again? Yeah, you don't have any excuses. Hallelujah. I mean, serial killer. Have you been born again? Yeah. It didn't matter what they did. You've been born again. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't like that because it takes us all the excuses away. But it makes us free. Doesn't that bear witness? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So your DNA can just worship him. You don't know the songs. When it doesn't necessarily always like the songs. When it doesn't know where the next step is, you can just sit. Sit down. Begin to magnify him. And you know, after a while, the mind, this is what David said. He said, I calmed and quieted my soul. My soul is as a weaned child. A weaned child is one that goes from a fretful state. When the women used to more naturally feed their children, You'd see them in the churches and different places. You knew they weren't weaned yet, because they was grabbing at mama. But then there comes a time when they're absolutely weaned. And you know, just like a child, when you say no and they know that you mean no, I mean, they can go on all day long, clamoring. This is why he said about worship. Jesus, when he went into the temple, he quoted Psalm 7. He said, out of mouth of babes and sucklings, he said, hast thou ordained praise? But Psalm 7 says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, that you may still the avenger. Quiet and still the avenger. Still means to shut him up. He's like a yapping dog. He's like a little chihuahua. Now, some of you may have one. I'm not against them. But I doubt one of them's going to eat my leg off. I think before he does, I can put an end to it. But the enemy's like that. He'll just torment you. And you're walking around saying, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. You don't know. Here's the God bless you kind of thing. You don't know that just like Peter, that Jesus said, Peter. He didn't even say Peter. He said, Satan, get thee behind me. Because Peter pipes up and he says something. Now, that's the worst thing I could possibly think of. Me tell Jesus something and he turned back eye to eye, pupil to pupil. And I'm thinking he's going to say Bronk. And he says, Satan, get thee behind me, for you're an offense to me. Oh, my God. Peter didn't even know. He said, because you savor not the things that be of God. Means savor, meaning your mind is not even... The word is phineo, means make an association with. Your mind's not intermingling with the mind of Christ. And so out of it, you're just regurgitating soul. And Satan's standing there, and you're just a puppet. He's on your shoulder. He says, don't go to the cross. And Peter says, don't go to the cross. Well, I think whether we care to admit it, we've probably all been puppets at times. We've all said things that he was sitting on our shoulder to say, or an atmosphere was in the room. But Jesus said this, when that chihuahua was there barking at your heels, know this, that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he's ordained strength. What kind of strength? Jesus called it praise, worship. It comes out of babes and sucklings because that's the closest thing that he could compare the new nature with, the innocence of the new nature. The moment that you begin to worship him, you talk about spiritual warfare. Now, do you believe in rebuking the devil? Obviously, I do. But you're talking about the greatest. I'm talking about the primo of just absolutely putting him in his place. It's not so much standing up and growling with a loud voice and just declaring the heavens to come down and all that. The greatest thing that you can steal his voice with and begin to put a presence in the air and cause an atmosphere to come with is when you begin to truly out of your spirit worship him. Then they have to begin to back up. Even without your rebuke, they have to begin to back up. You can change the atmosphere of your home. It doesn't have to be the uckiness. It doesn't have to be, you know how it feels. We've all had those times where it's just like, there's really nothing wrong, but there's an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere. You can change that atmosphere. You can speak to it. But you can also go into a place and begin to worship him and magnify him, and whatever was following you around, it'll find somebody else to pick on because it doesn't like staying where you're at. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We were going to worship, weren't we? I don't even think I was thinking about worship. About say anything about it when I come out here, but why don't you just lift your hands for a moment? I just worship you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. How many are glad you are free? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, he whom the Son set free is free indeed. Again, not him coming in a worship service. But the moment you got born again, that's when you got free. Yes. It's where you received your new nature. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm so glad you're here just to worship with us, just to magnify him, because he's worthy. He is so worthy. Hallelujah. And you're hungry. That's why you're here. You're wanting to see more like me. A lot of you are coming from different places, good places. But you know he's got more for you. And you know he's got more in the earth that he wants to do. And see, the thing that you got to know is this. The square one, the elementary of anything ever changing. Of anything ever changing, personally or on a bigger scale, like a revival or an outpouring or whatever word you want to put it. Because see, what we're trying to receive from him is this. We're not trying to get something that hasn't already been. The miracles, the kingdom of God, Jesus said in Matthew 13, he said it was like a woman who hid 3 measures of leaven until all was leavened. And what he was talking about was, if you understand there, what he was talking about, that this woman who leavened 3 measures, he was talking about that the kingdom of God is like this, that what Christ has come to do for you affects you in every dimension of your life, spirit, soul, and body. So the Holy Spirit was left. He wasn't just left as a mediator or somebody. He was left to come in the moment that you got born again simultaneously. I mean, just absolutely simultaneously, the Holy Spirit was there to fill your new nature. Now, you getting born again, that's something that happened to you. That's something that happened to you personally. You already had a spirit. It wasn't like he came and gave you a spirit. You already had a spirit. Mom and dad comes together. In the moment of exchange, the rate of exchange, molecule to molecule, cell to cell, the moment through the law of Genesis, the moment that those two cells come together and they begin to multiply. I'm not talking about them a second later. I mean the moment they touch. The spirit comes into existence. And it multiplies at a rate. That's why killing innocent is wrong. You know, taking them in the womb is wrong. If they didn't have a spirit, then it'd be debatable. But the moment, I'm talking about the moment, 2 seconds after, there's a spirit there. It doesn't come from above. God's not creating spirits up there and sending them down. It comes through the law of Genesis. Comes through the physical, when the physical comes into being. And so spirit multiplies even when it's not even formed yet. And it doesn't have a little nose and a little arm, but it'll grow at the rate of exchange, molecule to molecule. And it grows right in the same dimension. You see those movies where somebody dies and they step out of their body? Hollywood gets some things right. That's right. That's right, because there's a spirit on the inside that's the real you. And you already had that before you got born again. The only thing is, it wasn't a spirit that had the capacity to love God. Now what happened, the miracle of the new birth, was when you accepted Christ, that same spirit now takes on a total transformation. It becomes totally deatomized. The atoms in it change. It had a want to sin, and now it's totally, it kind of looks like it looks like the same old you, but now the want to's, the motivation, the desires, everything changed at that moment in time. And then, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes, but that happened to you. That's still you. That's just you. I mean, God, somebody said, well, 1 John says that anybody that has Christ has the Spirit of God in him, per se. Per se. How so? Well, I used to be a building contractor. I guess I still have licenses that are inactive or something but like that. But when you plaster that wall or you build this, whether it's out of concrete blocks or wood frame or whatever it is, You're building the edifice. You're building it. Your hands are on it. You're having a part in it because you're the building contractor. You're the one putting it together, forming the walls, the interior, the ceiling, the floor. You're in there. Your signature's on everything. Your touch is on everything, especially if you're out there with a nail apron on or a concrete trowel or something like that. You're touching it. You're part of it. Well, that's what happened to your new nature. It was the spora, or the creation of it, came from above. It came from the Father, but it's still you. You already had a spirit. That happened to you, but it rearranged on the inside. But the moment that you get born again, that moment, simultaneously with that moment, the Holy Spirit wants to come and do something apart from you. That's what He wants to do, is to fill that new nature. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then you go on. From that point on, the Holy Spirit can begin to conquer the flesh. This is where the leaven, the three measures. First, it happens to your spirit. Then the tsunami from there goes on and it begins to take place in your soul. Your soul can be transformed. The transformation of your soul is to go from glory to glory. 30, 60, and 100-fold. It'll eventually get out where it begins to affect your flesh, the way you think, and it can affect your body and everything about you. But the Holy Spirit was given so you could go through a changing process every day of your life, some kind of metamorphosis, and really, you didn't have to hate it. You could enjoy it because you've been free. You're already starting from a free position and going to the next level and then to the next level. And guess what He gave you? He gave you a means by which. See, the Holy Spirit just sitting in there dumb. So is He dumb? Oh my God, He's the most intelligent being there is. I'm talking about mute. The moment you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's something that takes place. There's an empowerment. Jesus said you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But the catalyst by which He brings forth all changes, and when He talks in 1 Corinthians 2, when He talks about that the Holy Spirit speaks not words of man's wisdom, howbeit the natural, but He speaks with a language or a wisdom that changes and causes the natural man to come under the ascendancy. Well, what kind of language? What kind of exchange? What kind of rate of exchange? If I got a dollar bill here, she's got something I want here. Here's what gets me what I want if she's willing to exchange it. The Holy Spirit gave us a prayer language the moment we got born again. It's the catalyst. It's the thing that causes things to change. And guess what? It's free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Well, what it'll do is if you pray in tongues long enough, it'll bring you to a place where the first, as I said, square one is that you just can't put up with it anymore. You just, I don't know, there's something inside of you that says enough is enough. And you say, well, can you do anything about it? I don't know if I can do anything about it so much yet. But the first place of change is resistance. You just say, no, I can't, I won't put up with this anymore. Jesus, Luke 7, He went into a place, He was in a synagogue, and they watched Him. Now, one thing about Jesus, the devil didn't have His number, but they did know this. He was very predictable. In what way? You could always, you could just 100% of the time, you could predict this about Jesus. You could just know this. He and sickness, disease, demonic oppression, anything that had been levied by the flesh, they could not stay in the same room together. One of them had to go. And He never walked away. Hallelujah. So they watched Him with this man with the withered hand, whether or not He would heal him on the Sabbath day. And they knew of a certainty that He would, because He was so predictable. There's like, look, Jesus, sickness, there's going to be a scene here. There's a, We know, we're glad we've got this set up. They may have brought him in. They're watching him. He's over on the third row. Jesus is speaking. He's got a withered hand. We can't wait. We know he's not going to walk out of here like most preachers and just say, there's a guy over there that needs healing. But I... Jesus, they knew one thing. He was going to do something about it. Hallelujah. He was going to change it. Glory be to God. See, this is where you and I have got to come to in our hunger. Even before we can change it, we've got to say, that is not acceptable. Now, you, sir, you, ma'am, you're acceptable. I love you, but your infirmity, that's not acceptable in what the diagram that he's laid in front of us as a church, spirit, soul, and body. He's come and brought enough leaven to change everything around about us. And whether or not we see it happening in the scope of things, whether or not it's happening as a prototype in front of us, does not change who Jesus is one iota. Hallelujah. I ran down from the pulpit Sunday morning, looked at a man with an amputee. He was an amputee with his left leg is gone. I said, I love you. I want to tell you something. That's not acceptable. I'll not put up with that. Because there's a place in him where all that changes. Glory be to God. See, whether or not we're seeing it, that's what he left. He left that for all of us to walk into. Not just the preachers. If I'm preaching in a church, if I've got 10,000 people in my congregation, if revival hasn't hit yet, and I'm providing the amenities of a signing section, praise God for that. I'm not against that. They need to hear, or they need to know what's going on. But I'm going to tell them this. Make sure you get this right. Because I don't want them to think that I'm putting a slant or degrading them at all. I want them to know, this is not acceptable. This is a travesty. It's wrong. It should not be. And somebody should say, it's not right in the house of God. When you come in, there ought to be the healing power and virtue to get those kind of people healed. And we ought to bring it to the fulcrum of our thought life, to pull it up and look at it and say, this is an act of hell. You're sweet. I love you. You're cool. I don't want you to think, but I want you to know. But if it's spending my whole life and a bunch of you that love him go into him enough to say, I'm not going to turn and look and say, we're just going to have our social gatherings and some wonderful teaching and some wonderful, you know, tea sessions and this, that, and the other, and go on and say, he used to do that. No, he'll do it today if enough people will say, we got to have it no matter what. We won't put up with that. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because if you don't put up with it, something inside of you will begin to take a trek. It'll take a journey into God. It'll say, my God, I wasn't created just for myself. I wasn't created just to... See, because the mirage is this. From the time the bottle is put in your mouth, something is being created into you that the world is supposed to circumvent around you. I cry, she comes. I wet, she comes. Now I cry and Candy fixes the dinner and she still comes. Jesus said this, and when he was talking in Luke 18, he said this. He said, there was a certain city and there was a certain judge in the city. And boy, I've heard people talk about this and saying, now this is God. And then they'll tell you, like, you know, if you really just wear God out, you can get anything you want. How are you going to wear God out? Besides for that, Romans 8, he who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? First of all, you can't get anything from him that's not his will. So it didn't matter if you stood there 50 millennials. You still couldn't get it. But if it's his will, he's ready to give it to you right yesterday. Hallelujah. So he said there was this certain judge in a certain city, and this guy, boy, they ought to know when he says he feared not God, that wasn't God. Didn't have any respect for God. God, do you like yourself? Yeah, I think he does. Didn't fear God. And there was a widow. What he's really teaching us there is the beginning wisdom and knowledge of how the spirit and the soul and the body work, and how that if you really want to go into a place where God can absolutely take your life and change it to a place where he can take it to a place where you don't have to put up with things, not only in your personal life, but you can change things around you, because he began saying men ought always to pray and not to faint. Doesn't mean passing out. What's wrong with them? Fainting spell. Well, they were praying a minute ago and they just fainted. No, he's talking about this. There's a place in him where the tenacity goes past a place where people usually stop at, and they get real excited about the prayer message, and they get real excited about praying in tongues, and they get real excited. The only thing is, there's something mean out there. What is it? The devil? No. Something very deceptive out there. What is it? The cohorts. The dark regime, the enemy. Oh yeah, he's bad. But what Jesus described in this parable was what stops 99% of the growth of most Christians. Because he said, I would that all men should pray. When he ends the parable, he said this, but when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Now the faith on the earth, the faith on the earth that he was talking about was what he was talking about in the beginning. Will they still be able to maintain what they started out in without fainting? Because there's something that's so diabolical. And he described it like this. In this certain city, there was a judge. He did not fear God. He did not fear man. He begins to talk. What he's describing is the epitome of the flesh. And how the flesh works, and how it will take its ascendancy and live out its days thinking that it's supposed to be in charge, that it was born to live. When Jesus said these words emphatically, if a man wants to find his life, he must learn how to lose it. And if you will lose your life, then you'll find it. What was he talking about? Laying down your life. I like that old movie, The Matrix. Because I don't know if you're as carnal as me and would watch something like that, but pray for me. The guy breaks out of an illusion because the whole world's living in it. And everybody thinks that what they're seeing through cyberspace is reality, and it's not. It's being fed them. Because that's the way they were brought into existence. The illusion is this. The enemy does everything he can from cradle to grave to create the illusion that you were created for your existence. When Jesus stood up and said, look, that's all an illusion. The illusion is that you're self-existent and you're supposed to heap things to yourself and circumvent things around yourself and bring things into existence for yourself. And it's even when you're saying it's for God, there's still the motives behind it for self. And it's so subtle, you don't even know it's existent. Except this, any man that will lay his life down, he'll break out of the illusion. He'll find it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was walking the streets of the village a little bit today. Some of you may live there. That's a great place. It's wonderful. I'd live there. The only thing is, I saw a lot of illusions. I saw thousands believing that that was the purpose, that their existence, to live out their days for another tea time, to live out their days for another drink. or to live out their days for another steak or for another party, or what are we going to do next week, or where we're going to send our children to college, or what are we going to do this, or how we, and I'm not saying that he won't provide all of that in that, but the illusion is this, this all circumvents around me when he said this, you must find a way to break out of this, because this judge does not fear God and he does not revere man. And you go barking at him some like some widow. He said, though he does not regard man or fear, regard or fear God. He said, yet for this woman's persistency. Now God's not talking about the devil there, because he's not wanting you to go and get anything from him. He's a loser. And he's not describing himself, because he said, how much more will your father? He says, though he tarries long with his children. He doesn't say that you have to tarry long with him. He says he has to tarry long with you. What? Waiting for the hour that you break out of the illusion. But he said this, anybody that stayed in that place and just absolutely used the facilities of what he gave you to facilitate you and to break you out of that place, you could go to a place where that unjust judge, that soul and that man that it stands on the precipice of everything and says, I am, and I don't even realize that I am. You could stay in the prayer closet long enough, keep praying the mysteries until there was some kind of real nuclear breakdown in the day and hour that you begin to realize that you were born to serve him. Your life's not your own. What's he going to take from him? My God, it's what he gives to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got one call. And it's found somewhere in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And he lists eight operations there. Are there eight gifts? They're the same thing he lists in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. That's your call, and every one of you are called to it. You're either in one of those eight operations or those active gifts. Well, I'm a usher in the church. Man, these guys that came up with me and will help out, and the girls and everything, that's wonderful. And listen, you can't give a, Jesus said, I'll tell you how the kingdom of God works. You can't even give a cup of cool water to a disciple and do it honoring God that you don't get a reward for it. But listen, I'm not condemning those people on the golf carts. You may have one. I'd like one. It's just that you were born to serve him. And the moment you got born again, you were given the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was to be used on a... How do I do this, Pastor? How do I do this? Is there a good book out on the Christian book table? Is there a, what's the best novels out right now? What's circumventing the kingdom of God? Listen, again, you don't need any supplement. You don't need anybody to come along. Again, thank God for every encouraging word. Thank God for every revelation. But I'm telling you this, no man can add on your foundation. When you receive Christ and you're born again and you receive the ability to pray out the mysteries, everything that God is to you, in you, and through you, from that moment on, you embark on a journey that's not only an enlightenment, it's an empowerment, and it's a sure sign that eventually that one that stands over you that you don't even know that's ruling most of the time, you're going to break free. You're absolutely going to break free. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think you just need to worship God for a minute. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. Monde carece de blasiora didi. I worship you and glorify you and praise you, Jesus. You are who you say you are, and you're worthy. I praise and exalt you, Jesus. He said that they wouldn't faint, because usually something will come and cover it up. Something will come and usually cover up the spiritual dimensions that he's trying to put in your life. Well, there's only one real journey. That's the one that Jesus left us. It's through the person of the Holy Spirit. The more that you go after him, the more you just initiate it on a want-to basis, you begin to change things. And eventually, you're going to change things that he'll begin to enlighten you. Say, what am I called to do? Well, the worst thing that I could possibly do is, and please, if you have, and I think probably I have, so I'm not being demeaning or even maybe a little sarcastic, but personality profiles will not describe to you what your call is. There's only one way. It's through that bottom rung of the ladder. 1 Corinthians 12:28, the diversity of tongues that is the kindling which feeds everything up and begins to enlighten you and not only illuminates you, but then it goes over into what it mentions in the first part of that chapter, the nine gifts of the Spirit, and begins to empower you to be who you are. Because you are somebody in Christ. And you've got at least two operation gifts on the inside of you. The moment that you got born again, Ephesians 4 says, he that ascended, descended, and he gave gifts unto men. And you got those kinds of gifts working on the inside. The only thing is the Holy Spirit is wanting to just, I'm an usher. Like I said, you can't give a cup of cool water, but that's not a gift. Well, I serve on the board. That's not a gift. I'm in the choir. That's not a gift. Well, somebody consider, that's not one of the Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 gifts. That's not what he's birthed you to bring you through this life and impact people's lives with. But I guarantee you, you've got a couple of them majoring on the inside wanting to get free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Well, I do this and I do that. That helps. I couldn't do none of this without somebody. But there's only those gifts, only the things that he describes in the Word of God. And my God, he's wanting to get out on top of you and empower you and bring that forth in such a major way that you're going to stand back and say, I know what I was birthed for. I was either called into the fivefold or I was called into a place of the ministry of helps to steward millions into the kingdom and supply, or else I was called into governments where I was supposed to orchestrate and rule over and make sure that everybody coming to the kingdom had a place and they could be facilitated with everything necessary, or the bottom place, that diversity of tongues which every one of us are supposed to be operating in on a continual basis, which gives itself over to long intercessory hours of birthing, the birthing process. Well, everything else is just icing on the cake. Anything else you do besides that, you're going to get a reward for it. It's just not what you were birthed for. But you got something that you were birthed for. He wants to bring it out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.